Well, hello there, guys. How are you? I am doing great. Hopefully, Clay is doing great. Usually, I check in with him before we get started, and I was rude and didn't even ask. So, how you doing, Clay?
Good as always. You know, it's Tuesday night, as we always do. We record and then drop on Thursdays. But yeah, I'm doing well. It's a beautiful, beautiful week here in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Yay. I love it. All right. As usual, we have got a ton of topics for you that we're going to get through them all because we can do it. We can do it. But first, this. Are ready to get the show rolling. We talked about this last week. Never a slow news week. There is always something to make us laugh, make us so angry, make us disgusted. I mean, it runs the whole gamut, and we're always disappointed to not be disappointed. No, that sounded like a Kamala-ism right there.
That was about as close to legitimate word salad as you have ever become.
Yes, it's happening. It's happening, guys. Everybody has warned me that this might happen, that I might morph into her by accident. And I think you all just witnessed that moment. Be scared. Be scared.
Yeah, when you immerse yourself into a role, you know?
Yeah. Yes. That's what happens. That's what method happens, acting. Man.
That's what it is. Method acting.
Yes. Yes. That's that. I like that. That is the case. You know, and as you well know, my other favorite acting, my performance, skit, whatever, is, of course, to play Joe Biden's handler. And what a surprise. Joe has given us another skit worthy performance all on his own. I mean, you would think his behavior is a skit all of its own. But yeah, I mean, the title says it all. Who doesn't know? Who doesn't know at this point that Joe said his Uncle Bozy was probably eaten by cannibals for real. As Joe would say, or Joe did say.
Yeah. So the story is his uncle was a pilot. This is the way he told it. His uncle was a pilot, right. And there was a mission that nobody else could fly, and his uncle volunteered for it. And then he got shot down near New Guinea, and there's cannibals there. And, you know, did he say it directly, or did he just kind of like imply that's what happened?
I have his direct quote. He said, okay. Do you want me to mumble it like him?
No, I won't.
Please, no, Lord. Right? It'll take too long. You'll be here for an hour just trying to get the sentence out. So he said, quote unquote, he got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals at the time. They never recovered his body. Did he add it? Yeah. No, he says they never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane. So he's implying he didn't directly say cannibals ate Uncle Bozy.
Okay. So
I know I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah. But. So there's for a lot of people that don't know, it's one of the most admirable things that our military continues to do. There is a, an organization based out of Hawaii that used to be called JTF Full Accounting. It's now the Joint POW MIA Command. There's a new name for it, but that's what they do. Is they and focus mostly in the Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia region for recovery of remains of missing Americans. Right now, they do things.
Okay,
they've recovered aircraft buried in the mountains that were part of the Flying Tigers. You know, they have Philippines, and they have done Korea and some other things here and there, but mostly in the Vietnam era. You know, geographically, that's where they've spent most of their time. They have extensive capabilities, DNA. They recover remains. They test them. I have a friend who worked there for 3 or 4 years, and so I'm kind of familiar with how they do business. What they do have, and the military has come out and said this, is records of Uncle Bozy and his flight. Okay, he was a passenger on a plane that, for unknown reasons, went down in the water not on land, crashed into the ocean. And I think there was maybe one, survivor, right? That's it. They know he crashed. They know he died. They know he's at the bottom of the ocean. They know exactly what happened. And listen, families sensationalize things for a lot of reasons. I understand.
Sure.
It makes it more interesting if Uncle Bozy was, you know, a fighter pilot and got shot down. And, you know, I get it. However, he was a congressman. He was the vice president. He has had access to all of this. Said it himself. They found part of the wreckage when I was down there, whatever that means. So he's made a claim that he knows, you know, there's evidence of this, and this is a true story, which clearly it's not. So he's either lying about you know, Uncle Bozy flatly, or he's lying about what the military told him. But either way, it continues along the same path of him just lying. He's just lying. He lies all the time.
So what you're saying to me is that Joe Biden told a story that's not true. This is shocking to me. Y'all know how sarcastic I am. That was obvious sarcasm.
I always murder her name, Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, she covered it up again. You know,
right.
He was having an emotional moment.
Yes.
That's what she said. He was having, you know, he was trying to relate as only the president can. And he was having an emotion. Shut up. I am sick of her garbage. She is and this is saying a lot. She is the most condescending White House press person can ever remember. And there's been a lot. I mean, some of Trump's folks, Like, there's been some really condescending SOBs standing at that podium. She is by far the worst. She thinks we're all idiots and that we're going to fall for and believe whatever comes out of her mouth. It just continues to be the same crap, and they're just covering up his complete inadequacy. He's talking about cannibals, for crying out loud. This isn't corn pop. This isn't a kid at the pool that he got in a fight with, or him driving a bus or a semi, or, you know, riding a train and talking to a conductor. The guy's talking about an uncle being eaten by cannibals. Yeah. And they're going, you know, it's an emotional.
It's just emotion. It's just very emotional for him. It just makes your head explode a little bit, doesn't it? Like, who's buying this? Who's buying this? And we know there's people buying it. How do we know? I posted a video. Oh, I can show you that video. We talked about the handler video. Did I cue it up here? I did. So here is, of course, me as the handler handling this situation.
Okay. Joe, sir, I need you to not say anything crazy today. Okay. You're not helping us. We're doing the best we can here, and you're not helping. So just read what it says on the teleprompter. Okay. Can you do that for me? Okay. Awesome. You go get him, sir. What is he going to say today? I mean,
Uncle Bozy is a hell of an athlete. They tell me when he was a kid, and he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals, for real.
Did he just say cannibals?
I mean, so you know darn well that that's how his people, his handlers, are reacting to everything that he says. They have to be just like ripping their hair out. And of course, by the way, what prompted me to even share that is we were talking about people believing this and not. And of course, you know, like 20 people, I think I'm exaggerating, jumped into the comments. There were cannibals then. There were cannibals. Okay. Do you think Uncle Bozy got eaten by the cannibals? Okay, fine. We'll go with that. Sure. Why not? I mean, of all of the craziness that goes on with this administration and the things that they say and do, let's just go with the cannibals. Let's just go with it.
It's fine. Cannibals are fine.
It's all good.
It's as plausible as any of the other shit that comes out of that place.
Absolutely.
You might as well.
Yeah. feeling good about it. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. Again,
it's just glossed over.
Right.
Right. You know, I get it. You know, the conservative media and, you know, it's been all over the socials. You know, there's memes everywhere. I've seen, you know, Uncle Bozy's cannibal barbecue sauce ads and all kinds of stuff.
So many ways that you can run with that. And I love that people do, you know, there's gotta be, I haven't even seen them yet, but I'm sure there's gotta be like memes and GIFs and all of the things.
Everybody just continues to nod along, you know, they're cringing in private. Just like you said, just like your, you know, your handler, they're cringing in private, but on the outside, you know, nobody is coming out and saying this is a bad thing, except for Bill Maher, which is crazy.
Yes.
You know, along with a few others, but you know, for the most part, everybody's just nodding along. Yeah. Cannabis.
Yeah.
You heard
the
ball. Cannabis.
Yeah.
It's reprehensible. I know we keep harping on this, but he keeps giving us material. Like this is a never ending story. You know,
this is just yet another, like this is yet another example of what is at the helm of this ship. And it is so bad, you know, and people, and I'm telling you, I can't even take it how many times these, you know, never Trumpers, who don't care about anything other than never Trump are just hanging on like rabid dogs to, you know, what little bit of falsehoods that they have been fed, and they just keep regurgitating it, you know, best economy we've ever had. It's, you know, where it's the, oh, really? This is, I mean, I kid you not. They literally say this in the comments, and I don't even respond anymore. I haven't responded to those types of comments in ages because it's like, you know, if you put like a bloodied hand in the water and of piranhas and they just go on the attack and they just shred them to pieces. They're like, really? Explain that. Tell us how. And they list everything. And I'm like, yeah, I can just sit back and relax and not even have to respond. But
yeah, it is. It's just more of the same. It you know, we responsibly, I think, can't ignore it as much as it's become the norm and repetitive.
Right.
But you can't just say, oh, because that's the trap that they're asking you to fall into. The trap they want you to fall into is just be like, oh, well, that's him. He just did it again.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They want you to just go, silly Joe. Yeah. Never mind that. Don't worry. He's
an old man.
Just fun. And yeah.
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 And then brush it off and then not worry about it. That's what they're really wanting everybody to do. Can't do it.
Their tactic is somewhat brilliant and somewhat effective, or I guess maybe quite a bit effective, because at least they just keep moving along. They just keep chugging along and, you know, just right past it, steamroll right past it. Same with Kamala, you know, she says something absolutely absurd and nonsensical and you know, really condescending to people. Speaking of condescending, you know, and again, we can always go back and forth with her manner of speaking, besides the whole word salad part, and say, you know, she is either speaking to everyone as if they are dumb children, or she is the dumb child that cannot speak above that level, you know, and it's maybe a combination of both. I don't really know, to be honest with you. But no matter what, it is daily slaps in the faces to the intelligence of the American people. And, you know, and I think the general population is sitting here going, are you kidding me? Who sees this?
It's still 40+%, 42%, 44%, whatever it is, are going to vote for him again.
Right. Right.
Absolutely baffling.
Yeah.
Absolutely baffling.
Now, maybe you've seen the numbers. I see all different numbers floating around. I never really trust the polls and stuff like that, to, you know, all that, because it always depends on who you're asking. You know, if you go into a liberal area, of course, it's going to be skewed. You know, that's going to be the majority of the voters. So I don't know. But do you feel that the majority, or at least a large percent of those people that are going to vote for him, are they just never Trumpers? Because I can't fathom people genuinely voting for Biden. They have to be voting party against Trump, right?
And party.
And party.
You know,
yes, true.
You know, because it's the party, not the president, in a lot of cases on the hardcore issues, you know, we've talked about their hard dividers, right? And you know, the two big ones are abortion and guns,
right?
Those two things, people will stay, no matter who the candidate is, they will stay with their party because they know their party is going to stay in the direction that they support, you know, there is a correlation in general between the pro-gun, pro-life and choice anti-2A. Those two, you know, kind of run together. So, you know, one's Democrat, one's Republican, and people will vote party just to vote party. It's got less to do with Trump and Biden and more to do with those specifically two issues.
That's a great point. And I think really, really accurate because, you know, and if you need any proof for that, Gavin Newsom just put out the most absurd. I'll put it on here.
We're going to make it.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Yes, I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org. Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the content of this advertising.
It's crazier than fiction. Like, you can't make that up.
That's some Brave New World, 1984,
right?
Like absolute, you know, to the nth degree craziness. And unfortunately, people will believe it.
Yeah. Oh, there's 100% people who have watched that ad and they're going, oh, Trump's going to arrest everyone as they cross the borders and make them take pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
Oh. Lunatics.
But, you know, and, you know, I guess changing topics, but we've talked about in the past how they're, you know, the squad is what it is on the blue side.
Squad is what it is.
They're all lunatics. They're all crazy, but they all support each other. Like, no matter how crazy things get, they all support each other. They're whatever it is,
eight or nine or
12 of them, they stick together, right?
Yep. And, they do.
And, you know, what is happening on the – and we even talked about this, how you don't see that on the GOP side.
No.
Right? You don't have that core group of folks. Well, you do have it now.
Right.
You've got a small group now, and it's led by Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
And listen, I'm not, and I know you're not, advocating that our politicians vote party line. Right.
Right.
They should vote the issue based on their constituency, based on what their constituency wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're there for. Right. They're representative of their district or their state or whatever.
Right.
Right. Well, unfortunately, what we've got now is a lot of we talked about party lines. Right. Everybody votes on party lines.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the majority in Congress, this tends to be how, you know, progress is made in one direction or the other, whatever party you're on, as long as everybody tends to vote on party lines, because right now it's very tight, right? The House especially, but it's all very tight. Matt Gaetz and Boebert and a few others, you know, they are the reason why things aren't getting done right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, in a lot of cases, truthfully, fighting against the GOP out of spite.
Mm-hmm. That answers my question, because I was actually just going to ask you, do you feel that they are right or wrong, essentially? And that's kind of a broad question, because it's a little nuanced, right? Because there's different topics. Yeah. We're talking Ukraine aid. We're talking, you know, we're talking a lot of different things technically. But in general, I get the idea that you think they're a little over the top, maybe?
I think that a lot of it is done for self-promotion.
Mm.
A lot of it is done for attention. You know, I think Gaetz is probably the worst of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a grandstander.
Yeah.
I think that he is there purely for his own, you know, forward progress. I think he likes his name to be in the news as much as possible. And even if that means he's, you know, kind of not moving the ball forward. And I'm not somebody who uses sports metaphors a lot, but that's really what he's doing, is he's halting progress of any kind. And I think it's solely for his own personal gain. And he's got some folks that are jumping on board with him, either in the short term or the long term,
right?
That are, you know, helping to disrupt things. And again, I'm not advocating to vote party line, but when the House and the Senate are as tight as they are, to do anything, you almost have to vote party line. Otherwise, it just becomes stagnated. And it's, you know, just as bad as when you've got one house and not the other, or you've got both houses but not the presidency, or you, you know, I think it's, we're probably going on, you know, 12 years now where we've legitimately gotten nothing done because, you know, there's so much crossover in the parties and everything's so tight that if you don't, you know, stand on the line, then it's, it all stops. And that's what's happening right now. And it's, you know, the party itself is not shy about this. Mm-hmm. They haven't been, you know, Dan Crenshaw, some of the other voices. And I'm not a huge fan of Crenshaw. I do like him. He uses social media better than anybody else that I think, which is why I see a lot of his opinions, because he does use social media well. He's one of those two that he calls out Gates at every opportunity, because he's the guy, he's the bump in the road. And I think he does it for self-promotion.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, well, okay, so we'll go back a little bit. So this kind of, and I'm not saying this is the beginning, but this is maybe for the casual viewer, so to speak, this is kind of a beginning point. So we start with the ousting of Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Yep. And that, of course, was pushed by Matt Gaetz, his Freedom Caucus. So now we have this division happening over foreign aid and Mike Johnson's speakership. So here we are again with that. Notably, of course, I take that back. Matt Gaetz isn't quite calling for him to vacate, but Marjorie Taylor Greene is, and she has a couple of times now, and she's, I saw the what is that? Palm?
Yeah.
Face palm. That's it. Face palm. I can come up with it. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, of course, bad look again for the not being unified. However, I will say, you know, so the lawmakers passed a $95 billion package that will provide military aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And their standpoint is that being Marjorie Taylor Greene and those, that crew essentially is the question of, where's the aid for our border? Where's our border safety? Where's the money for us, for what we need, which I think is a legitimate question. Has it been answered? I don't actually know. Maybe you know better. I know Mike Johnson has spoken on this recently, and I slacked, and I don't actually have that in front of me. So slacker. So I actually don't know what his response to that is. But I know that Matt Gaetz threw out the name of Lauren Boebert for a potential, although he's not calling to vacate. For Mike Johnson to vacate, but he threw out that name, which is interesting in and of itself. You know, is he putting out feelers? I don't know. But, you know, the core of the problem here is we can't be doing this crap. Like, we can't, like, can't they take it behind closed doors and hash it out there? And then, you know, I guess ultimately the biggest question is, can't you just represent the people who put you in there and do what we want you to do? It goes for all of them, not just...
Yeah. Yeah, that's really what we want, but you're right. There is some of this, and again, he won't do it behind closed doors because he wants his face on the television. And it's interesting that he's floating other names out there to be speaker and not his own, because he doesn't want the responsibility.
Mm.
He doesn't want to have to toe the party line. He also knows that he would never get selected as speaker, never.
No.
So he's not going to embarrass himself. You know, because he knows that I wouldn't say he's public enemy number one, but he's pretty high on the list.
Sure.
As far as the GOP goes. So he'll never get selected to be the speaker. So he's not going to volunteer for it. You know, so.
Yeah, we're talking about just as far as like specifically the Ukraine bill, Ukraine aid bill. You have 101 Republicans voted in favor and you have 112 voted against it. I mean, split almost in half. That's interesting to say the least, right?
Yeah, and I know, you know, this is a pretty tense subject right now. You know, the Ukraine aid. I know that, you know, attached to that was, you know, some split aid to Israel and Gaza at the same time, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there were some other pieces and parts in there, but you know, the bulk of that bill was the Ukraine aid, and that is. You know, the questions being asked are exactly what you were talking about, which is, why are we not funding the border? Why are we not, you know, housing homeless veterans? Why are we not, like, there's a lot of things that we could use that $65 billion for here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Why are we not doing that? And why are we sending it overseas? And that's a definitely a deeper, you know, geopolitical diplomatic question to be asked and answered. And I think a lot of that is, you know, dependent upon your perspective on how diplomacy works as a politician, as, you know, and most of them, let's be honest, most of who is in the House of Representatives, especially as first termers, most of them don't have a great handle on diplomacy. They really don't. There's just, it's right. a lack of experience for the vast majority of them. Sure. And they don't understand the ins and the outs of it. They don't understand, you know, and I'm not claiming to be an expert, but many of them don't know, and they have no experience in it, you know, and they don't have any education in it, really. You know, they're, some of them, you know, even if they're on a committee, it's got nothing to do with foreign aid or diplomacy or defense or intelligence or any of the rest of that stuff. So they just don't know. So when they look at it on the face and they say, well, you know, this is, we should be funding the border and we shouldn't be funding Ukraine. And, you know, this is, again, we're kind of moving between topics because I know that we really want to talk about, you know, the Ukraine aid, but at the same time, you know, many of us who've been around this for a long time, I'm tired of, and I've been saying this, Ukraine should be a NATO problem. I think I'm, you know, I speak for a lot of people when I say $130 billion and counting is way too much money.
Right.
It's clearly not turning any kind of diplomatic profit as it stands right now. It's an investment that's going sideways. It's an investment in war. And there's a lot of speculation about what the value of that is at this point. You know, there's a lot of war hawks and defense industry folks. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation that politicians up to and including the president are, you know, taking some influence from some of the defense industry to, you know, continue to push this war, proxy war, mm-hmm. You know, to help the defense industry. And that's why the $65 billion, you know, because where are they going to spend that money? They're going to buy U.S. stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the U.S. is going to donate. The U.S. is going to donate equipment to Ukraine and we're going to buy to replace,
mm-hmm.
right? So either way, the U.S. defense industry wins. But that's all an extension of diplomacy that clearly half of the Republican representatives don't agree with. Mm-hmm. They don't agree with how diplomacy is being executed in this specific case. You know, half of them do. But they're not taking into account where the Democrats sit.
Right.
I mean, what's the vote? What would, do you know the numbers on the Democrats?
They what? I don't think I have it on the Democrats.
I would bet they all voted for.
I would imagine so. Yeah. I mean, based on, let's see, based on this picture here, which is right, which is just such a tiny percentage of what that picture actually shows. And, you know, if you haven't already, guys, go check out that video if you want your blood to boil. And, you know, and it's things like that. You know, if you're somebody who's maybe like me, I'll put myself in a position of somebody who treads very carefully in what I say, because that's not my lane. I don't know about the intricacies of foreign aid and foreign policy and what benefit truly Ukraine has to us. So I tread a little carefully when I make my judgment calls, but I think a lot of people are like that. They're like, well, I don't know if I fully understand this, like why exactly we're doing this. I get the gist, but there's got to be so much more that I don't understand. So I'm going to be maybe a little bit cautious in what I say. But then you see something like that picture. Where are the American flags? I haven't seen any of those people. And I'll go back and I will look through pictures over the past, you know, handful of years to see if there's at any point in time when they're all standing like that, waving little American flags, you know? So I have a problem with that. And I think a lot of people have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that, Clay?
I was livid. To do that as Congress people, men and women in the halls of Congress, mm-hmm. U.S., right?
Yeah.
And waving a foreign flag as if to ally, not even ally. It almost looks like a loyalty push. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's offensive to me to do mm-hmm. it in the halls of Congress. Listen, diplomacy is what it is. right? And diplomacy is business, not in the sense of buying and selling and defense and like all the accusations that are being made, but these are calculated decisions just like you would make in any business. Mm-hmm. It's a decision to be made on, you know, strategically, what does Ukraine mean to us? What does it mean if it falls to Russia? All the things that you're talking about that you don't know the intricacies of, they're mm-hmm. supposed to.
They're supposed
to.
These
are business decisions, right? They're calculated, strategic, mm-hmm. business-like decisions. They are not flag waving. That's not what this is. That's not what it's for, right? That right. is about, you know, roaring up the crowd, bringing up support that may or may not be there, but mm-hmm. but the fact that they're waving Ukrainian flags inside the halls of Congress is extremely offensive to me when we can't get Americans to wave American flags
right
in the halls of Congress, right? I mean that mm-hmm. it's baffling to me that because it's clearly organized. That's not absolutely. An accident. Those were handed out.
Don't you always carry a tiny little Ukrainian flag around with you everywhere you go? It seems very normal.
I carry a bouquet of them, depending on, you know, what country I feel like supporting that day.
Yes, one of every. And pass them all out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, very orchestrated. And and that's actually a great point that, you know, pay attention that, you know, your optics, you know what I mean? This is a message. This is a message. If you want a message, this is a message. And the message is that, you know, half of our government isn't for us. They're not about us. They're about Ukraine in this moment until their next poster child, you know, comes up. Right.
Yeah. That was not a wave the flags of Ukraine in the streets as a message to Putin.
Right.
That was.
Mm-hmm. That was a message to us.
That was a message to the American public. You are exactly right. You are 100% right. That's brainwashing. It's propaganda. That's whatever you want to call it. But that is, we need to support this. Look, all these smart Congress people that you put in office, they're all supporting this. They're waving the flag. You should have a flag in your front yard. In fact, you should have one tattooed on your body. Everybody should support Ukraine. Bah, that's what they're doing. And it's all garbage. It's all crap because it's all orchestrated and that's what they want. And to me, to do that, you want to stand outside on the front steps, fine. Actually, that's a little offensive too, but so be it. Right? Mm-hmm. Not in chambers, not in the halls itself. No friggin' way. There's no way that should happen.
Yeah, there's part of me that feels like that is going to be one of those moments that we look back on years from now and say, that was a moment right there that things turned more than we maybe realized. And I believe that that was a moment, that was a sign right there of, you know, it's that foreboding of something bad to come. And, you know, sorry to be the doomsday caller here, but I feel like that was a bad thing on a lot of levels, and it's all going to play out. It's all going to play out.
And listen, I had, you know, changing topics again, but I had the same doomsday thing a few years ago when the Boston Marathon bombing happened. Mm-hmm. Right. And I knew when that happened, as they were chasing those two young men around, I was like, this is domestic terrorism. That's what this is. And, you know, obviously one of them ended up in prison, one of them ended up dead. And then it was like, oh, well, poor pity on him. He was a young boy. He was younger. He got brainwashed by his brother. He blah, 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 blah. And what's happening? He's mm-hmm. sitting in jail. He's collecting. That kid is living large in prison because he's got a bankroll of about $4,000 sitting in his account, right? Where he can buy his cigarettes and whatever else he needs. He's got more money than probably anybody else in there. But we went easy on that kid because we thought, you know, this isn't normal. That was the doomsday. He's patient zero, whatever you want to call it. But that right there, that was when we went soft. And this is what you have now. You have NYU, you have Columbia, have Yale and Harvard. Mm-hmm. That's what you get.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's where we're at. And that, you know, again, if you've had, talking to the audience here, if you've had an opportunity to watch some of these videos.
From the river to the sea, From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
And we will free Palestine.
And we will free Palestine.
Within our lifetime.
Within our lifetime.
Revolution.
Revolution.
And see some of these images. It's shocking to me. And I know at this point I should not be shocked by anything anymore. But to see these college campuses overrun with the, you know, protesters in these tents, they're camping out and violence and fighting and tearing down American flags. Talk about blood boiling and really nothing much happened. You know, happening in response to that. Now there's, I mean, they finally, I think they did crack down on them. Bad. Go. Who was it? Which congresswoman there? What's her name?
Was it Ilhan Omar?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Her daughter.
Booted.
Yeah. Daughter got booted. And then of course there's like, you know, all these sympathy articles. Oh, she's homeless now. You know, she's been kicked out. So sad. No. Bye. Fine.
Listen, there, you know, peaceful protest is part of the process in America, and, sure. And I have no problem with that.
Nope.
You know, when NYU is, you know, one of the more recent examples, right? It's been going on in Columbia for a couple of days now, NYU in the last 2 days. And NYU said, hey, NYPD, you just keep off campus. We'll handle this. 12 hours later, they're screaming for NYPD to come in and help. Because not only did they have student protesters who began to get violent, right, that they knew were, and but then people who weren't students came in and got on campus because it's an urban campus and got on campus and got into the protests, and then things got really violent. And then they realized, wow, this isn't just reserved to our brilliant young minds that attend NYU. Yeah, no kidding, right? This right. is, yeah, it's getting amped up, and then it gets violent, and then it gets out of control, and then they say, oh, maybe we do need the police in here.
Right. Yeah. And this is, and you know, you're not just talking about random violence and chaos. This is orchestrated.
Yes.
Orchestrated, planned, deliberate, intentional, all of the words that basically mean the same thing. You know, this is not a peaceful protest that turned, you know, this is something that was really technically violent close to the get-go, because they're barring Jewish students from coming into the area. So you're already saying that the campus that you or your parents pay for you to be on, that goes for all of them, except for the ones that have scholarships and whatever, but you know, that you are here to attend, you cannot go in this area that you're entitled to be a part of, and you can't go there because one, you fear for your life, and two, well, that is one and two. You're in fear of your life. This should not be a thing on any American campus ever. And that it was even allowed to get to this point. Shame on all of them. Every family who has a student in these schools should get them the hell out of there. It's not going to happen. I know, but you should yank them out. That's not what you paid for. That's not where your money's going for, you know?
No, and that philosophical discussion is, you know, we talk about hate speech of all things, right? Racist, bigotry, all of those things, anti, you know, LGBTQ, all that stuff. I don't understand why death to America or death to Israel, right, which are the two biggest things being chanted. There was an imam in Chicago that was teaching people to say death to America in Arabic, right, in Farsi, so they could chant it, right, and death to Israel so they could chant it, right? Why is that not hate speech? I don't understand this, right? If I drop, as a, you know, white American male, if I drop an N-bomb in any manner, not even in a threatening manner, but in any manner, if I drop an N-bomb,
you're done. Right. Ask Morgan, what's his name? Morgan Wallen, you know, I mean, he got uncanceled eventually, but.
I'm defending that, right? I'm not saying it's okay. What I'm saying is that's the standard.
Right.
Why is it that we are allowing this death to, I'm an American. That is offensive to me. Why is that hate speech?
Right.
I don't get it. You know, every veteran at a minimum, right? At a minimum should be losing their ever loving mind over this stuff. And I get
Absolutely.
I am all for freedom of speech until it turns into this.
Right.
That is over.
I mean, you know, you isolate. That's what that is. Yeah, you isolate that one word, death. You're not saying, I hate America. Right. We don't want to hear you say it, but freedom of speech right there.
Yep.
Now you're calling for death, the killing of Americans, of America as a whole. Like, it's not even just, you know, you could take that both ways and be correct. Death to America. Yes, they want America as a country, as a nation to fall. And they also want dead Americans. They want both.
Well, that's how that has to happen.
Yeah. Right? That's the only way it can happen. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Right.
And if you want to go, and if you want to go straight legal terms, right? Mm-hmm. You're a cop's wife, right? There's a difference between assault and battery.
Right.
Right. If I see you on the street, Elsa Kurt, and I say Elsa Kurt, and I say it in a very threatening manner, I'm going to effing kill you and your entire family. And I, all kinds of that is assault. If you feel threatened for your life and for your safety, I have just assaulted you. Now, as soon as I lay hands on you, then it becomes battery, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this, it's the same thing. That is, in a threatening manner, assault on America.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, they haven't attacked anything theoretically, right?
Right.
You know,
well, you know, I mean, feasibly, why can't we? And I hate to refer to it as playing a game, but just for lack of a better term, why can't we play their game? I feel assaulted. I feel threatened. I'm suing everyone. I'm suing good. And, you know, maybe there needs to be more of that. And I'm not a big fan of, you know, I'm going to sue you. I'm getting my lawyer.
No.
But, you know, obviously, we wouldn't recommend, you know, going out on the street and reciprocating that same energy in that same way, but they do have to be shut down. So, you know, maybe legalistically you can cut them off at the knees, essentially. I don't know. I mean, more people would obviously have to, you know, to do that, but.
Well, at a minimum, it gives the police a standing to up their game.
Mm, right.
When it becomes a Death to America rally, right? When it becomes that and that turns into hate speech, because listen, if the Ku Klux Klan is walking down Main Street, right, and they're chanting all kinds of horrific stuff, and they've got, you know, in a threatening manner, they've got, you know, nooses in their hands, and they've got pitchforks, and they've got torches, and they've got all this other symbolic stuff, you know, and I know they're getting arrested. That's getting broken up. The police are not going to allow that. Now, again, peaceful protest is one thing. They up their game to more than that, and it becomes an issue. This, you start running around chanting, waving Iranian flags or Palestinian flags or whatever you want, death to America, right? And it starts to ramp up a little bit. It gives the police somewhere to stand where they can have a legal recourse to say, okay, well, we went to riot gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used, you know, non-lethal means to disperse the crowd. We, you know, we did whatever. But just in principle, philosophically, the fact that death to America is not hate speech is absolutely baffling to me.
Agreed. Agreed. It's horrific. And it is, you know, maybe one of the best, worst examples of how far we've fallen. Okay. Yeah. I'm all for having pride in your origin country, your nationality. You know, that's wonderful. Wave your flags. You know, I love, you know, I'll throw up a German flag or a Cuban flag, you know, in proper context, but never, ever at the expense or disrespect to this country. And that's the line. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm pretty sure it's safe to say I speak for a lot of Americans when I say, well, that's the line. Have pride in your heritage, your home country. If you came from there, wonderful, lovely. Not at the disrespect of this country. You show allegiance and loyalty and love to this country. And if you can't, you got to go. Just, you're gone. I'm a huge fan of that. It's, you know, obviously not nearly as easy as any of us would like for it for it to be. But if you hate this country, get out. Go. You're gone.
At least shut up and pay your taxes.
At the very least.
If you hate it and you can't leave or you don't really want to leave, just shut up and pay your taxes.
Right.
That's it. You know, I'm with you. I don't understand it. You know, we get it all the time. The, mm-hmm. you know, America's terrible. It, you know, and then, or I'm leaving. If so-and-so gets elected, I'm leaving. Yeah. Nobody leaves. Right.
Nobody leaves. All of them that said it are still here.
And I hear it all the time. America is this oppressive place. And it's always fun to hear it from, you know, white suburban kids, you know, hilarious. And some of them really believe it because they've been brainwashed that way. But, you know, Adam, you should show some loyalty. You know, there should be some love. There should be some, you know, be proud to be an American. And if you're not, then again, just shut up and pay your taxes.
Right.
You don't have to like it. And you don't have to leave. But you do have to keep your mouth shut and pay your taxes.
I feel like I could be very reasonable when it comes to, you know, natural born citizens, people, these young kids, all of them, these college students who have known nothing but living here. And if they're chanting these types of things, or even that they just hate it here and other countries are better, I feel like there should be a fund for them to go spend 1 year in the third world country of their choice, or the socialist country of their, you know, whichever one. We're going to give you lots of choices. There's quite a few to choose from. We'll see you in a year and then we can have this conversation again. We can revisit it in a year after you've lived there. I think that's fair.
They have that program. It's called the United States Military.
Oh, I like it. Yes. Yes.
You want to go see how horrible the rest of the world is? Put a uniform on for a while. You stay around long enough, you're going to go to some place that's not so nice. Yeah. And you're going to see what really, really hard life looks like, because it's not here.
The people that have come here honorably, legally, properly from these countries and who are here for the right reasons, not these jackasses that we've been talking about, but the ones that come for the right reasons and get the value out of everything that is America, they are appalled. They're more appalled, I think, than even we are. And looking at these snot-nosed brats and literally telling them, I just interviewed somebody, he's a history teacher, and he had a student from, I don't remember what country, but from another country, very oppressive. And she actually, I think it was a young woman, a young girl, and she shut down these punk-ass kids and set them straight and said, you have no idea. Let me tell you what my life was like. And, you know, and man, if that girl could go on a tour to all of these schools, maybe some eyes would be opened a little, or at least some mouths would get shut for a minute. I just want to smack them all play.
Yeah. There is a young woman out there. I'd have to look up her name, but she is a North Korean defector, and she's been on tons of shows. And she talks about how horrific and how horrible life is, you know, in North Korea underneath the current and former dictator, father and son, and what, you know, escaping and all of those things. She's a great one, but then people go, they don't want to listen to her, you know,
because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah.
You know, and when it's in this type of context, you know, a video or, you know, you're on your phone or anything like that, you know, it's so easy to be like, next, you know, it needs to be that in-person thing where you're essentially a captive audience, where you're compelled to listen. You know, if there were to be things that I would say should be taught in school, things like that, you know, for these firsthand, you know, and of course we're talking about, you know, land of, in the public school system, especially, it's the land of the woke, you know, what they're teaching in there, and not everywhere, not all the time. I don't want to give, you know, teachers a bum rap. You know, there's a large faction of this happening, and everybody knows it. And a lot of them are proud of it. And that kind of sort of gets us into our last topic. I'm going to use it as a segue because we need to talk about this. This is pretty interesting. Not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm kind of laughing. It's that horrified laugh. Like, I can't believe this is real life. So what happened was, I'll give you like the specifics exact. So NPR senior business editor Yuri Berliner penned a scathing piece for Barry Weiss's Free Press, pointedly critiquing the publicly funded, let me repeat that, publicly funded outlet and portraying it as an institution that has descended into the depths of wokeism. And then, of course, no surprise, huge fallout from NPR for him. And Catherine Mayer, is that how you say it? I think it's how you say it. She is the president and CEO, and she's quite a character. I've got a video for you, but first let me just add that Trump and several others are calling for the defunding, essentially government, you know, removal of government funding for NPR if they're, you know, their agenda is a woke agenda, is if it's a biased agenda. And you know, just an idea of this woman, she gives Kamala Harris a run for her money.
We acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. So we all have.
Okay, there's more. I just can't even. It's just this long thing about, you know, truth is truth to some people, but your truth is different from somebody else's truth. You know, that's like one of their favorite ones, right? Like, you know, your truth, speak your truth, shut up. There's truth and there's not truth. So this is her with a Biden for president hat on. So I don't think there's any conflict of interest there, right? I mean, I don't think there's any kind of nothing, right? Nothing to see here.
Listen, I've been referring to NPR as National Proletariat Radio for decades. There should be no, you know, if you're going to have state-funded media, there's no editorializing. None.
Right.
Zero. Right. Right? It is facts, mm-hmm. facts only, or it is for basic education purposes. Right?
Yeah.
You know, PBS. Same concept. That's
same concept. And right? They've, and you know, they've, there's been some eyebrow raising things there. Absolutely. And, and it's, and if you're not disturbed by it, you really should be, because this is who and what controls the narrative for the masses.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not a safe space guy. I mean, that's not kind of how I operate, but NPR should be the media safe space. If you're tired of Fox, if you're tired of MSN, if you're tired of CNN, if you're whatever it is, if you're tired of the biased crap in our media, NPR should be theoretically, because it's publicly funded, it's non-biased, it's non-political. That should be the place that you can go as a safe space and get clean, unbiased media. Mm-hmm. That's what it should be. And it Absolutely. Shouldn't matter the administration. It shouldn't matter who's runs Congress or who's in office, any of that stuff. They should have a locked in budget that can't be touched no matter what the party says, blah, blah. It should be all those things, mm-hmm. right? That's what NPR should be. Obviously not happening. It's right. All of the left-leaning media. It's all the things that we've heard are going on at NPR, that are going on at the Wall Street Journal and all of these other places where it's like, well, if you're a conservative, you know, one, your career path's not lasting long at that location. And two, you're going to get harassed the entire time that you're there. You know, it's going to be a very uncomfortable work environment. And most of the time, you're not going to get the time of day from anybody who matters, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to see work that you do. They're going to shove it off to the side. It's never going to see the light of day. Same thing's happening at NPR. It is literally an entire culture and an entire workforce of liberal media, and they're pushing a very specific message.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, frighteningly, there's a lot of people who have just believed that they are impartial, that they are neutral. I can tell you, I have never heard a liberal say, I can't talk about my politics at work. I can't say I support. I've never heard them say that. I can tell you, the countless number of private messages I have gotten from friends, family, strangers over the past few years of people saying, thank you so much for saying what you're saying and doing what you're doing. I can't comment on your post publicly because my job, or my family or this. I've never heard a liberal, or if you want to just be called a Democrat, whatever. I've never heard them say those words, but I've heard it a hell of a lot from the right.
Yeah, it's definitely the, you've got one side that, let's be frank. And we're going to use generalities because, mm-hmm. there's exceptions to every rule. Mm-hmm. But in general, the conservative side of the coin will look at somebody with a liberal point of view and go, boy, they're an idiot. Or mm-hmm. I don't agree with them. Or I wish they would just shut up. There's very, very rare do you get the outrage, the backlash, the violent and viral, kind of resistance to anything that a liberal is saying coming from a conservative.
Right.
Right. And certainly not now. It may come in response.
I was just going to say, yeah, it comes in response and reaction, but it's right. Rarely, if ever, prompted. Like, and I'll tell you again, from my own personal experience, I have never, ever once sought out a liberal person's page or posts or whatever so that I could go on there and argue with them. And I have never, ever done that. I have so many more better things to do with my time than to go and troll people that I disagree with. I would rather watch paint dry than to do something so absurd and hamster wheel mentality. So yeah, very, very different.
Different mentality.
Yes. Very different.
Different mentality for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is, the key to this, to just to roll back around to the topic, is publicly funded taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. This should not be biased. I don't care who's in office. Right. None of us. I don't care who your party is. Mm-hmm. Right. Because again, when the party switches in the White House or the party, you know what I mean? Like this can easily flip over the other direction. And that's not right either. Right.
No.
NPR, PBS, publicly funded taxpayer dollars. Non-political, right? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be party messaging, period. That's it. Because it's
so insane that it's even, right? That it's even necessary to say is beyond absurd, but obviously this is where we're at. And I love that you made that point, Clay, that it doesn't matter which side we're talking about. It's a simple flat out no. Government funding should not be, it just shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen, period.
Nope. Not even.
Nope. Oh boy. Oh boy. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited that we were able to get all of those topics in and we wove them. It was interesting as we were going along, I was actually amazed at how well they actually all wove together. It was kind of wild, right?
Yeah. Cause when we went over topics, they all seemed very kind of disconnected and we were going to be off the map and they all just kind of blurred into each other. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I was having those moments. I was like, oh.
Completely by accident.
Yes, yes. There was no moment of how are we going to, I think I had one moment where I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to segue this, but I just want to talk about it. But generally, everything fit together nicely. You're welcome, guys.
Yeah. Oh, just like we planned it.
Yes.
Just like we
totally planned. Totally planned. Disregard everything I just said before that. Oh, my goodness, guys. As always, We love discussing the topics. I personally love getting your perspective, Clay, because I think I've said it in different ways before. I think you have a much more balanced perspective than I do. I want to go fight everybody and tell them how dumb they are. And you're like, well, hang on there a second there, slugger. And also, if you don't know, I'm going to say this real quick. We also break up the show into small segments for you guys. Because we know, it's a lot of times, who has an hour in their day to just sit and listen or watch, some people maybe do, maybe, hit the pause button, catch it later, but we wanted to make it easy for you too. So we have the full episode that goes out. And then after that, over the next day or two, we put out the segments for you. So you get we call it the 10 minute topics. Sometimes they're more than 10 minutes, but close enough, you get the idea. So you have options, guys, lots of options. You can watch, you can listen, get small segments. We try and cover it all, right, Clay?
Yeah. And we can't. It's impossible. And we appreciate you standing by and listening to us for an hour or in 10 minute segments, whichever you prefer.
Close them out, Clay.
Hey, as always for me, keep moving, keep shooting.
Take care, guys.